What a great truth and reminder that our help comes from the Lord. And Josh is getting the opportunity to share the story that you heard today all over the place. He's getting to share this wonderful story through a project or through a book. He's entitled Don't Give Up, and a project, Amor, and as he's talking about this story of transformation. And as a matter of fact, transformation is what we are going to be talking about today. But before I get to that part of it, I do want to acknowledge that this past Friday, something very momentous happened in our nation. This past Friday, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. So here's what that means. Here's what's changed. That means that abortion is no longer a federally protected right, but now that decision will be made at the state level. That's what's changed. But as I got to thinking about this, there are a couple things that have not changed. One thing that hasn't changed is our God is, always has been, and always will be seated on the throne. He is sovereign. He's in control, and that hasn't changed. And the second thing that hasn't changed is that God's people are called to be a people of prayer. And so let's do just that just now. Let's pray together. Father, we know that a ruling like this in our nation, it brings a mixed emotion, and we are praying for peace. We're praying for peace over our nation right now, the peace that comes from you. We're praying for wisdom for our state legislatures, for our state leaders, wisdom and discernment that only comes from you. We are praying for those who have boldly and courageously stepped into fostering and adopting. We pray that you would give them the strength that they need, the strength that comes from you. And we pray for those who are working so diligently in our pregnancy centers, bringing help and hope and healing to those who find themselves specifically in a place of unplanned pregnancy. Father, I'm praying that your spirit would rise up in men, that they would be men, and that they would provide and protect specifically when they find themselves in these places of unplanned pregnancy. Provide the help that they need to provide to bring that hope and healing that comes from you. And Father, we are praying for the sanctity of all life, for the children around the world who die every day simply because they don't have clean water. Father, would you instill in us as a church to be a people who continue to pray? And we pray that we would be a church that believes so much in the image of God and so much in the sanctity of all life, that we would be a people who honor all people. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. We are continuing our series we've been calling Image of God. It's a deep bedrock doctrine that we find in Scripture as we are affirming the dignity and worth of all people. Because our belief in the image of God, it changes everything. It changes the way that we see ourselves. When you look in the mirror, it's not just you that's looking back. When you look in the mirror, you are seeing a reflection of the very image of God, the Creator who created you. It just changes things. And it not only changes the way that we see ourselves, it changes the way that we see one another. Last weekend, we celebrated Father's Day, but we didn't just celebrate Father's Day. We celebrated Juneteenth. Why? Because June 19th, 1865 marked the end of slavery. And we celebrate that because we believe in the image of God. We believe in the dignity and the worth of all people. It changes the way, it has to change the way that we see one another. Not only changes the way we see one another, but the way that we see the world. The way that we see our ability to be able to change the world. So, I've got a question that I want to begin. It's a pretty fundamental question that I think we all need to consider, and it is this. Do you believe that you have the ability to change the world. I don't know, maybe you do, maybe you're in a place where you don't. I ask this question because a lot of people that I talk to, there's just a lot of doom and gloom. To hear some people speak, life is just something that happens to us and there is absolutely nothing that we can do about it. What about you? Do you believe that you have the ability to change the world? And here's a second question that is closely related to it. Do you believe that you have the ability to change? Do you believe that you have the ability to change? The Apostle Paul certainly did. Paul, who was an apostle, he believed that, well, he experienced a pretty dramatic change in his own life. But he believed that all people could change. In fact, as he was writing a church in Corinth, a letter that we now call Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, I want you to look at what he says, what he writes. And we, what's that next word, church? And we all. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this church in Corinth, he spent the better part of chapter 3 explaining that the new covenant through Christ is now superior to the old covenant that was received through Moses. It wasn't that the old covenant was bad. That was God's covenant. That was God's promise to his people. But now the new covenant is superior. It's almost like if you're out at night and it's a full moon and the moon is big and it's bright and it's beautiful. At some point, the sun will rise. And as the sun rises, the moon at least seems to lose some of its glory. Some of its brightness begins to fade. That's what Paul is saying is happening with the old covenant as Jesus Christ comes and brings the new covenant. Moses would physically be in the presence of God. And when he would spend time in the presence of God, when he came out, his face, his complexion actually changed. Like his face was glowing. It was lighting up. And so here's what Moses would do. He would veil his face when he was with the people, and he would unveil his face when he was with God. So that's what Paul is referencing here when he talks about, and we all with unveiled faces. You see, because of Christ and because of the new covenant, we now all have unveiled faces. What does that mean? That means that we can all contemplate or see or behold the glory of the Lord. And because we can behold the glory of the Lord, here's what happens. We can all be transformed into his image, into his likeness. So, here's the promise. We're not just made in the image of God. We are being transformed into it. We're not just made in the image of God, but we are being transformed into it. This is such good news. Paul calls this an ever-increasing glory, or glory to glory. It's in this increasing amount. And you see, this is really good news for anyone who stopped believing that they can change. This is actually really good news for anybody who believes they don't need to change. Because part of God's plan is that we would continually be changed from the inside out. The transformation from the inside out as Jesus is changing us. You see, day by day, moment by moment, as we follow Jesus moment by moment, something is changing in us. Some days it may be slow. Some days it may be dramatic, like what Paul experienced in his life. But it's an ever-increasing glory. See, this is the promise from Scripture that God is, he's changing us from the inside out. So here's the good news. If you currently don't like where you are, if you currently don't like who you are, you need to hang in there and you need to hold on. And cut yourself some slack. Give yourself some grace, because here's the truth. You are not yet who you will be. I am not yet who I will be. Here's the promise from Scripture. We are not just made in the image of God. We are being transformed into it. That means day by day, you and I look a little more like Jesus. If we behold Jesus, if we look at Jesus, we're going to begin to look like him. That transformation that takes place in us eventually turns into transformation in our world. So if we believe that we have the ability to change, it begins to foster this belief in us that we have the ability to change the world, because here's how it works. The more transformation that takes place in us is the more transformation that takes place through us in the world. We experienced this time last year, a very tangible expression of transformation in the world as Oak Hills Church and World Vision made a decision to partner together for child sponsorship. For 70 years, World Vision has provided the opportunity for people to sponsor children. It was 20 years ago that Alicia and I sponsored our first child. We were given a picture. His name was Jeffrin Ramon. Jeffrin's picture went up on our refrigerator. We prayed for him often. His birthday was January 26, 2001. I remember that because it's our oldest Jackson's birthday. That was pretty cool. And we felt like we had added someone to our family. And so for 70 years, we've had the opportunity to see a picture and to choose a child to sponsor. And then somewhere along the way, somebody decided, what if we flipped the script? And instead of us having the opportunity to choose a child, what if we took pictures and sent those pictures to the children? And then the children had the opportunity. They were allowed. They were empowered to be the ones who were doing the choosing. And so this time last year, last June, 592 children were sponsored, because 592 of you stepped up to sponsor children and to be chosen. So over the last year, here's what's happened. You have been a part of, because 592 of you pooled your resources, $39 a month, which is like a modest dinner a month. We pooled our resources together, and because of that, children have had clean water, they've had sanitation, they've had the educational opportunities. You may not know this, but over half of the children in Honduras, which is where we are specifically investing, have not gone back to school. Educational opportunities, nutrition and health programs, job training, so important. And my favorite, Christian discipleship opportunities through the churches. And so that is the transformation that's taken. As we look at the past year, that's the transformation that has taken place in some places where you chose to give your kingdom investment. Today we've got a real unique opportunity. We have some friends with us. Some eyewitness on the ground, boots on the ground folks there in Honduras that I want to introduce to you today. We have with us Jorge Galeano, who is the National Director of World Vision Honduras and Guatemala. And we also have with us Renee Bolton, who is a U.S. World Vision staff. Church, can you thank them for being with us today? Oh, what a pleasure. What a pleasure. What a pleasure. Have a seat, please. We really are. We're so honored and so excited that you're here with us. And you can't tell any other churches that they're here with us, because they can't do this for all churches. But Jorge flew all the way to San Antonio just to be with us. And we're so grateful for that, because you really have. You've been so instrumental in this, you and your staff, and you've had a front row seat to see the transformation that we've been talking about take place. Could you just share with us a little bit about what happens? What is that transformation? So 592 people in a church come together, and that those resources are pulled together. What happens in those communities, and what is the transformation that you've seen?
First of all, I want to express my deep gratitude for hosting me here in this amazing place. It's the first time that I've been in a church like this. It's amazing for me. It's a great experience, so I'm blessed to be here. Thank you very much. And regarding to your question, you know, we heard you speaking about if we have, that opportunity to change the world. So I just want to tell you, you are changing the world. You are changing the world for the kids in Honduras. You are changing the world for the communities in Honduras. So we are very grateful for that. I would tell you about some examples of that, transformational processes at the community and in the life of the children. The first of all is a community, you know, a municipality that we call Yamaranguila in Honduras. I remember when I joined World Vision 20 years ago, there were some of the poorest areas in the country. Malnutrition rates were so high. Diseases, Chaga diseases, were a huge problem at that time. Housing, health. So, and during these years, you know, we worked together with the churches in there and beautiful people here in U.S. like you and other key stakeholders. And we have seen the transformational process in that community. Right now, it's a beautiful place. It's a really beautiful place in which transformation and God's love, you can see it. You can witness that in this moment. And the same, in that community, we have Selving. Selving, we're in a small kid, sponsor kid, and he lives in a very, very difficult condition at that time. So Selving joined a sponsorship program, and he became a spokesperson for that community. And you can see in the picture in there, Selving, you know, being in a different process during that time. He came here to U.S. to speak. He spoke with our international president, Edgar Sandoval, and telling about the story of that community. And right now, Selving is one of those youth who had the opportunity to be in college. And just to give you an example, just 1% of the Honduran have the opportunity to get a college degree. So, and you have Selving right now dreaming and become a business administrator, dreaming to have job opportunities, not just for him, but the other kids. So he is an example of the transformational process of God and your support.
Mm. Yeah, that's wonderful. Can you talk a little bit about, okay, as we've already said for years, you know, we were seeing these pictures and we were choosing children. What is the significance of the children having the opportunity to be, for us to be chosen by them?
That is a powerful change because we are giving the opportunity for the kid to choose, and this is bringing dignity to them. This is we are empowering them to have the opportunity to choose you. And I will give you some example of that, our empowering process. I will talk about a little bit about Evelyn. Evelyn joined the chosen process about close to 3 years ago. And now Evelyn passed through a process of leadership process in the community for kids. And she, with a group of kids, advocates for having a school in their community. And you know why? A couple of months ago, the government decided to build a school in that community because of the kids are empowered and asking the government to have a school in the community.
Wow. This is
an amazing example. We also have Cesar. Cesar is a small kid, 7-year-old. 1 year ago, with Oak Hills, you were mentioning before, you know, he had the opportunity to choose their sponsors. And when he was in the process, you know, he started crying. And we asked, hey, Cesar, why are you crying? And he said, you know, his father passed away just a month ago at that moment. And that picture reminds him to be a family. You know, and right now, Cesar placed that picture in a very special place in his home and remembering him that, you know, it is future and they have people who take cares about him and pray with him. Cesar right now is a beautiful kid, you know, dreaming big because there are people here in this church in Oak Hills that is supporting him.
Oh, that is wonderful. That is wonderful. So we've talked a little bit about the impact on the children themselves. And I love that story because I just can't imagine the hope and the dreams that just start to arise. Renee, I've got a question for you. I mean, you're not just World Vision staff. You've been impacted by this as a congregant. So could you speak a little bit about that impact and then the impact that we can have? Because here at Oak Hills Church, we are disciples who make disciples by guiding all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. So if you can just talk about that relationship with the children as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I was transformed. I am what transformation looks like. I would go to church on Sundays, but I had to go with someone. And I would never go by myself. And then I experienced Chosen before I started working for World Vision. And as I experienced Chosen taught me about community. Community not just with that relationship with that child, but also community within my church. I started to go to church by myself. I've joined a small group. I was volunteering. I'm leading a small group now. And I was also baptized recently as well again.
That is awesome.
Yeah, thank you. And then part of what also you can do as a sponsor, when you're sponsoring a kid, you can be more active with that child. You can write letters. You can download the My World Vision app, which I have downloaded here. And you can see what's going on with your sponsor child. This is my sponsor child, Maureen. I've been sponsoring her for over 3 years. And I can write her a letter right here. I can give her a gift. I can see what's going on within her community as well, too. So it helps me to be more active with her in her community.
I love that interaction and the connection that we can have. Well, Jorge, I want to come back to you as we're wrapping this up. I know a little bit about the weight of leadership, and we have a lot of leaders here, but I can't imagine the weight of leadership that you've had in Honduras over the last, especially last couple years. Not just a pandemic, but two hurricanes, 1 week apart. Mm-hmm. The inflation, the things that we deal with here, but for you on such a massive level. And the challenges, the daily challenges, the daily problems to be solved. And then you've got an awesome staff that's working. We as a church, we want to pray. We love to pray. We believe that's a way that we can support you. So here's the question. What are some of the ways that we can pray for you and for your staff and for the work that's being done there in Honduras?
Yeah, thank you very much for that. You know, we feel supported when you pray for us, when you pray for our country, when you pray for our kids. Praying is a powerful weapon for all of us as Christians. So there are special requests. First of all, because right now we are facing challenging times in terms of food security. Mm. Food security is a key issue around the world right now, and in Honduras is one of the, as I mentioned before, poorest countries in Latin America, probably second country. And, you know, pray for us in terms of God allow us to bring food to our tables and allow us to produce our own food, you know, which is important for us. That is also dignity for the people, you know, to be able to provide to his family, to the family. Second one, for education, the last 2 years were very difficult because of the pandemic. So many children went out to the school because there were no opportunities. So technology is not spread out in the country. The kids doesn't have the opportunity to access to a tablet or internet or a computer. That is not possible in many communities. So bringing the kids back to the education system is a priority for us. So praying for that, please. And also praying for all the staff that are being in the field. Sometimes we are in the middle of too many risks, you know, not only for diseases, but the hurricanes in the response. So it is very important for us to feel that we have people that are praying for us and praying for the kids, of course. They feel they are part of the big family, the family of Jesus, you know. So we will be very grateful for you if you can pray for us.
Well, we will be praying for you. Church, I hope you were taking some notes right there. In fact, we love the opportunity to pray for you right now. Church, if you would, extend a hand. Let's pray. Father, you have heard the request of your servant, your faithful servant, who represents many faithful servants who have put themselves on the front lines. And Father, to take this step to work for not just some organization or a company, but a ministry on the front lines for the most vulnerable people, your most vulnerable children. And so, Father, we are asking you to give them protection, give them strength. Oh, that the joy of the Lord would be their strength every day that they wake up, that your mercies would be new, that they would rise up on wings of eagles as they're placing themselves on the front lines to be that hope and that healing, your hope and healing to a hurting world. And so, Father, we pray for health. We pray for all the things that Jorge just requested. And we continue to pray. We ask that your will would be done, that your work would be done, that you would have your way. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Church, can we thank Jorge and Renee for being with us today? Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're so grateful to have them and other World Vision staff who are here with us today. There are so many people who work so tirelessly on behalf of the most vulnerable in our world. And today, we get the opportunity to be a part of that. There's a video that I'm anxious for you to get a chance to see so that you can see the significance of being chosen. First time that I watched that video, there was a line in there that just gripped my heart, and I hope it gripped yours as well. We're not done yet. You see, this is the promise in Scripture. This is the promise that Paul gave us in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, that God is not finished with us. His work is continuing in us. And his work is continuing in the world through us. And so every single one of us have an opportunity today to be chosen. And if you were chosen last year, this time last year in June, I want to encourage you. First of all, I want to thank you. 592 of you stepped up. I want to thank you, but I also want to encourage you. We are disciples who make disciples. That's the reason we're partnering with World Vision in this way, is because of the opportunity for discipleship. And so I want to encourage you to continue writing those letters. I wrote a couple letters to our kids yesterday just to say you are a beautiful child of God. I believe in you. I believe in your dreams. So continue to write those letters. And by the way, if you were chosen last year, we do have a gift for you in the lobby today. I want you to go out there and receive that as well. But if this is the first time that you've ever heard of being chosen, then I want to encourage you to do just that. Be chosen. Because here's what's going to happen this Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, Oak Hills Church and World Vision are coming together to throw a party, a choosing party in Honduras. A choosing party where we will take our pictures here today and we will send them to Honduras, and then a bunch of kids are going to get to come together, and then they will be empowered. They will have the opportunity to choose us. And so I want to encourage you to consider that opportunity that we have. As God continues to transform us and to change us more into his image, more into the likeness of Christ, that transformation would begin to take place in the world. Here's the reality. 2,000 children are awaiting being sponsored. So the opportunity for us, and I know this is a bit of a God-sized goal, but what if 400 of us stepped up today to be chosen? You know what? 592. Let's make that 408 for an even thousand. What if 408 of us stepped up today to be chosen? To be chosen by the most vulnerable children in the world. I want to encourage you to join me. I'm going to encourage my family after the service, don't go anywhere. We're going to go out in the lobby. We're going to get our picture taken again. We're going to be sponsored again. We're going to sponsor again. As we said, $39 a month, the cost of a modest dinner a month. But when these resources and our heart and our prayer comes together, it will change things. Maybe you've been in that place, you're like, well, You see the hurt and the brokenness in the world, and you think, well, what can I do? Well, here's something tangible that you can do. And when you send your picture to Honduras, they're going to take a picture with your picture, and that's going to come back to you, and they're going to write you a letter and tell you why they chose you. And when you look at that picture, you will not just be looking at the face of a child. You're going to be looking at the face of God. Matthew 25 is pretty clear that when we serve the least of these, we're serving Jesus. You're going to be serving a child who is made in the image of God, but who is also being transformed into that image. It's a beautiful work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. So will you join us? Paul said that we're not just made in the image of God. We are being transformed into it. And when you look into the eyes of a child of God and see the reflection of God, it will not just change the world. It will change their world. And it'll not just change their world. It'll change your world as well. I want to invite my friend Renee to come back up, because we've got just some specific instructions. Maybe some of you are worshiping with us online and you're wondering, how can I be involved in this as well? So we want to give you just some specific instructions of how you can consider and take that step into being chosen. Renee?
Okay, so I want everyone to take out their cell phones, whether you are here in person or online. You're going to take out your cell phone, and you are going to text the letters OHC to 56170. Is everyone doing that? All right, awesome. So once you do that, you're going to get this link that's going to come back to you. And within that link is going to ask you to fill out some of your personal information for that $39 a month. And this is where you're going to walk through a couple of questions. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm just going to tell you the first one that you're going to see. And that first one that you're going to see is, how many children do you want to sponsor? Or how many children do you want to sponsor? And you select one or more, whatever God is calling you to do. And as soon as service ends, you're going to go out into the lobby and you're going to take the most epic picture that you've ever taken before. And those pictures are going to go to Florida, and they're going to be having that choosing party. And that choosing party is going to happen on Wednesday. Now, there's a time limit on this. You need to get this done by 8 p.m. tonight for those of you who are online. Because if you don't, then you're going to miss out. And we don't want you to miss out because those kids are waiting to be sponsored. And if you're here with us in person, again, just go out into that lobby. If you don't have a cell phone, it's okay because we have iPads and we can help you. There are people who can also answer questions. And whether you're taking the picture here or whether you're taking it at home, you will automatically be signed up for the Oak Hills Chosen Facebook group. That Facebook group is where you're going to interact with each other. You're going to celebrate that you've taken your picture today. You're also going to celebrate and like each other's pictures and comment. Now, don't forget about that 8 p.m. cutoff, because we have to give our friends in Honduras time to get the pictures together, to download them, and to get them ready for the choosing parties. And if you have any questions, again, we are here to help you here in person. And so if you're joining us at home, take that epic selfie and let's get chosen.
Can we just thank the World Vision staff and thank God for the work that He is about to do? Thank you, Lord. Renee, we are disciples who make disciples by guiding all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. And we believe we're not just a saved people, but a sent people. Church, will you rise and I'll dismiss us. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May you go forth to love and serve. God bless you, church.